Everybody happy for Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all guys remember the original Karate Kid movie? Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
You know, everybody sing that.
I got a grandson.
It's been a long time.
Daniel, Mr. Moses, man, Miyagi.
Miyagi.
You know, Daniel, he was all the time getting that nose blooded and all, and he got tired of that, you know? And so he went to Mr. Miyagi, you know, he wanted to know something about that karate bit. And Miyagi, he told me, he said, come over here to the house. I showed him a thing or two, you know, he took him over there, the wax on, the wax off. You know, Danielson, he got, you know, after a while, he got tired of that, you know? He was thinking, man, this ain't doing me no good. Why don't you teach me something? Well, you know, how many of y'all know Mr. Miyagi was wise in what he was doing, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see that. And the Lord, he does something like that too. He kind of showed me in the scriptures how he does something like that also. And it's with seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, I was reading the book of Romans the other day, and it ends up like this. You know, the book of Romans, it more or less, what I gather from it, there's two laws in there. The law of sin and death, the law of righteousness. You know, just like we had the laws of gravity, jump off sin and death, but the laws of lift, you know, like flying an airplane, exceed that law. And that's like the law, that would be the law of righteousness. But Paul ends this here with, now I beseech you, brethren, Now I beseech you, brother, mark them that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned with and for them. For they that are such are not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Your feet, shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And it goes on and says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Well, I believe this establish you according to my gospel, you know, like we know it's gospel grace too, but I believe it was Paul was saying here, establish you in righteousness. Establish you in righteousness. Mm-hmm. And when you're established in righteousness, you'll be able to defeat the enemy.
Yes.
You know, we've been talking about our inheritance. You know, everybody say this. I am the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
That's our inheritance.
Yes.
That's our inheritance, and we need to grow in that and learn in that. You know, salvation has all to do with righteousness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I got the notion here, I've been off the last couple of weeks and watching, you know, Brother Copeland and Creflo and these other ministers, you know, they're all talking about righteousness.
Praise God.
And I thought, you know, the Lord has put this on my heart in the last few months. What I was kind of sharing with you last week, I believe this is the direction the Lord's wanting us to go next year. And in my little brief, you know, get up, is Psalms 119.
Mm-hmm.
Go with that. And that psalm, I've studied it and read commentaries on it. I want us to read like 8 verses, you know, it's split up in 8 verses. And that's the leaf and the top.
Mm-hmm.
And And the Bible says, you know, he is our righteousness. And this, as I think and believe as we study this and see him as our righteousness, mm-hmm. and grow in that, and that our hearts trust in that, you know, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good, I'm telling you. You know, because the Bible, you know, if a nation, you know, is exalted in righteousness, how about individuals, you know?
Amen.
They too, you know. And the Bible, it starts out, I'm kind of up there, but it says, learn about righteousness. It talks about learning about righteousness. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to shift back to what Ray was talking about here this morning. Something else I've seen this week and learned in the Gospels too, as between the difference in the Old and New Testament, mm-hmm. you know, concerning the law. And the Lord showed me this. I was kind of getting, kind of drifting off from this. I was thinking, man, something ain't right. Something ain't right with this. Something ain't right. But the law, the Ten Commandments, you know, we ask, you know, Romans says, I think it's third chapter there, Paul says, do we do away with it? No, he says, establish. Establish the law. Not, in the case of righteousness, Jesus Christ, he fulfilled the law. He is our righteousness within the law. He fulfilled it. But the laws, the Ten Commandments, we just don't throw them in the garbage. Okay.
No.
Then in Galatians, he was talking about Galatians. You know, there again, Paul says, you know, speaking concerning the law, that we don't do that. And then there in Ephesians, he talks about children, obey your parents, honor your mom and daddy. Mm-hmm. That's part of the Big Ten, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, and let me finish it in this. Jesus himself said this concerning the Ten Commandments. So I hear some talking and just people kind of leave you kind of short and thinking what we do with the Big Ten, you know. And we don't, but what Paul was saying in Romans, we don't establish our righteousness by trying to do them, because the Lord did it. But Jesus said this. He said, think this, Matthew chapter 5, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Mm-hmm.
For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one little tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Verse 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commands and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But so, whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, said they was trying to do it on their own, by the
mm-hmm.
way. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You shall in no case enter in the kingdom of heaven. But Christ did it for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Christ established our righteousness for us. But,
mm-hmm.
but he's saying here, we don't throw the law in the garbage can.
No.
The law is good. And you know, just think what this nation would be. You know, what was the guy here in Alabama here a couple of years ago was, you know, they took the Ten Commandments out of Montgomery.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Mr. Moore, he's doing his best to keep them. And that's where they need to be established in justice.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's justice, right, David.
And, you know, a nation, you know, when we begin to take our crosses down, take the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom, are we established in righteousness? No. A thousand times no. So, we're going to learn from the Psalms, you know, our righteousness ain't our own. is of him.
Yeah.
Amen.
The beginning and the end. And we're going to sit, I ain't going to jump ahead myself. Come on.
It's good. Good.
Fresh start. Praise God. As we're about to enter into a new year, we must acknowledge we have not been this way before. We need a guide.
Yes, we do.
Praise God. The Holy Spirit said he will guide us this year if we just lean to him, yield to him. He wants to be our guide. Praise God. We have an interesting guide. He knows everything. Everything. Even that what Google don't know. Because my grandson said, you can Google anything, you know. But the Holy Spirit even knows what Google don't know. The Holy Spirit really gave us Google.
Amen.
We are the end time church and we have such technology to get us over to make us to be what he had called us to be as an end time church. To really get things out. Now, see, when we look at the day of Pentecost, you know, when they had all gathered in there, they had to gather into one place to hear, and then everybody had to take it back to their place.
Yeah.
But with the technology that we have today, we go into so many different countries.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's amazing that he left this for the end time people, because he knew we had a work to do.
Yes.
And so that is very important. I start thinking, and when I say, Lord, I thank you for technology.
Yes, amen.
But the church is getting ready to rise, shine, because the light is here. We talked about I am going to try to stay with, but, you know, sometimes I do move about. The Glorious Church, that's what we're going to talk about today. That's our subject. That's what we're going to talk about, is the Glorious Church. And the book that really gives you snapshots of the Glorious Church is the book of Ephesians.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going, but before we go there, let's go to John 1:38. Let's go to the book of John 1:38. I'm going to tell you, this church, the church has a significant part to play in the end time. The Lord has graced her with so much. But let's go to John 1:38 and see what it says there. Okay, John 1:38, read. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, better interpret, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and they saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day. You know, I'm going to enter into a statement that Jesus made, and people hadn't quite understood what he said. Let's go to Matthew 8, chapter 19 through the 20th verse. And let's see what he said here. Now we saw here he told these disciples where he lived. They wanted to know, hey, where you live? We want to come by your house, you know, where you live. He said, come on, see, I don't mind you. And they went and they abode there with him. Now the reason I'm expressing that, because people have said Jesus had no place to lay his head. He didn't have a, oh, poor Jesus. We got to be like poor Jesus. He didn't have that. And so let's go see what he said in Matthew. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew, but people didn't quite understand what he was saying. Matthew 8, 19. And a scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have net, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, he had just told the others, come on, see where I live. And they abode there with him, you know. So we see that he did have a place where he laid his head. Well, what was he really saying when he said that? He made that statement in two of the new chapter, that Matthew and Luke. He made that statement that, you know. And that's somewhat like the statement that first Adam had when he named all the animals. And he saw, I don't have nobody, you know, to bring purpose and to help me with what I'm to do. Jesus, even God saw that he didn't have what he needed to do the purpose and the plan that he was called for. The church is called for a purpose and a plan.
Amen.
You're just not here just to suck up air, but a purpose and a plan. So when he looked at all the animals, and the animals was good and all this, and he named them all, but he still couldn't communicate, couldn't get what he needed as purposely. So God said, well, I'm going to have to create Eve to kind of help Adam out. I'm going to go take a rib out his side and help him. Well, Jesus said, I don't have nowhere to lay my head. Well, I'm going to speed it up because of time. The book of Ephesians tells us that Jesus put his head on the church.
Oh, that's good, Mary.
Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go. I'm tracking real fast now. Y'all going to have to track with me. He put his head on the church. And Paul said it this way. He said, we have the mind. We're not trying to get the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ because his head was placed on the church. And the book, and even in Colossians said, we're the body. And Jesus put his head on the church. Jesus knew he wasn't going to be able to stay here, but to operate, he needed a body to operate spiritually. We are Jesus' spiritual body now. And don't nobody get to thinking that we his spiritual body. And he had no place to lay his head. And he placed his head on the church.
Amen.
You have his head. The book of Ephesians said, we have his head. We're the body. We're not the head. And where the church has crippled herself in some way, she's trying to be head too. Anything two-headed is deformed. Something wrong with it. So we need to let him be the head. His head was placed on our body. We're the body. And you know what else it said? We completed Jesus when he put his head on us.
Amen.
You can have a head and don't have a body. You can't operate in this earth. But if you got the head and the body, he placed his body, his head on the church. He laid it on the church. He found a place for his head. Praise God. Come on, let's go. Let's go into Ephesians. Let's go into that book where you're going to see the glorious church and how we're seated. I'm just going to go through it really, really fast. So y'all just trot with me, run with me. Okay, let's do the first verse, and let's the first chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians gives you so much. I mean, gives you so many pictures of the glorious church, and that's where the church is located at now in the book of Ephesians. We're seated with him in heavenly places. That's our position of authority. We can rule and reign from that seated place. That's the place we pray from. We're not praying to, we're praying from and changing things on earth.
Amen.
That's our seat. Take your seat in heavenly places in Christ. But let's see what he said about the church where he, it said, let me see where I want to start due to time. Okay, let's start at the 20th. Which he wrote in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. But above all principalities and power and might, but above all principalities and might. You know, in the 6th chapter, he started talking about the principalities and all that. But before he started talking about those, the principalities, he letting you know you above it. Okay? He said, for above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the what?
Amen.
Head over all things to the church.
Praise God.
He's the head.
Yeah.
We're the body. We can't forget that. If he's the head, you got to operate from the head to really get what you really need to be the glorious church.
That's good.
We have no other way. We're just the body. But he's the head. That's where we draw from. That's where we get, which is his body, the fullness of him. See, we complete him. Just like Eve completed Adam.
Yeah.
We complete him. The fullness. What's a head without a body? If you got a head here on earth, you're just a head. You cannot. But you got to have the body to operate in this. So we the fullness. We complete him. He completes us. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. The glorious church. We are that glorious church. Haggai said this latter house is going to be greater than the former. What made it greater? Jesus came in to the latter house. Praise God. It's greater. It's glorious. I know people look at the church and want to count her out. They go like, oh my, I mean, you know, they don't even have no fear of the church. I mean, but the church is not a building. It's living stones.
Yeah.
The church will be glorious. I got to go over in there and tell you. Let's go to the 5th chapter of, that's even our backdrop scripture. I'm not going to be able to tell you everything within, but okay, let's start at the 25th verse. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. What is going to make this church glorious? We're going to find out. Say, gave himself for it.
Gave himself for it.
That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water, by the word. That he may present it to himself. A glorious church. We're not going to be run down, you know, the way they think about the church. You're going to be hiding in caves and doing this and doing, but we're going to be a glorious church.
Amen.
He's taking us now from glory to glory to glory.
Amen.
Until that glory, they're going to see him on your faces. Isaiah said they're going to see you on the presence of God. Yeah. Is going to be so glorious until they're going to see it. The world going to know we've been here.
Amen.
They're going to know it.
Yeah.
We are a glorious church.
Yes, we are.
Think that way now. We are a glorious church. I know we're looking at the outer. But see, God has a plan for the church. Ephesians 3:10 tells you the plan. The purpose of the church. And he has that. He has given himself to make sure the church be without. Let me continue reading. That he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, why did he say spot or wrinkle? He's thinking about the garments. He done went from talking about the church, what he started off talking about, husband and wife. Now the garment, he's talking about the bride. The garment she's going to wear, well, it's going to be white. It's not going to have any blemishes in it. It's not a spot, and it's not going to be a wrinkle. Over in Jude 1 and 23, it says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The flesh will spot your garments. It will spot, the flesh will spot a garment. You're going to see, you see this and that and that and that in a person, you know. This sin, that, you know. It will spot a garment. That's not going to be a wrinkle. You know, one of the things that we care about so much is that wedding day. We don't want spot or wrinkle on that white dress because it stand out. You can see it, you know. Over in Revelation, he talk about you're going to wear the white robe. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be tarnished or it's going to be a white robe. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to wear white. And when we look at the church, the glorious church, the world going to see that even the beginning of the church, the world saw that we know you've been with God because you're doing the things that he did. Yeah. You're looking just like him.
Mm-hmm. Signs and wonders. Amen.
Say it again, Candy.
Signs and wonders.
Yes. He said you're going to do those works and greater works. And the greater works are the saving of souls.
Amen.
I don't care how many bodies you heal. If you can't get them saved, that's the greater works. And the reason he couldn't do the greater work because he had to go back to the Father. He didn't come to do that. He left that for us to do. But we are a glorious church. And in the book of Ephesians, the fourth, and you know, he even said he gave us the fivefold ministry to perfect her, to help get her where she should be. And it's no doubt in his mind that we want, he said, when come back and present it to myself, I'm coming for a glorious church.
Amen.
Not one written or all beat up, I mean, a glorious church. They're not going to have a spot or wrinkle in them because of what? He took care of a lot of that at the cross. Mm-hmm. He's provided a lot of that. When he gave himself at the cross and rose again, and he's still saying about it. And then he said before he ascended on high, he gave us the fivefold ministry. But what? For the perfecting of the saints.
And the work of the ministry.
That they won't be. I love my student. They coming up with some really good things. Thank y'all. Y'all sound glorious.
Amen.
Amen. Glorious. The world not going to look on it like he's looking on us now. Mm-hmm. He has planned for the church.
Yes,
Not only are we going to show the world, but principal angels and things, you know, they want to look into what we are. And they're trying to, they ministering to us, but they're still trying to figure out what are we. And not only that, those angels, other fallen, I mean, they're just, we're going to